I'm Stu Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. What's the Bard's take on cyberbullying? Definitely not cool. Well, coming up later, Chris Limber of Shakespeare Festival St. Louis will join us to discuss Winning Juliet, an educational production that features area teenagers. We'll also talk about Shake 38, urban readings of Shakespeare's 38-play canon that begins today. And Aaron Williams will talk with writer-producer Tony Nitko about his film Lake Windfall that examines interactions between deaf and hearing people and why that communication is important. But first, the 442s. They're a relatively new quartet on the music scene and are the combination of St. Louis Symphony musicians cellist Bjorn Ranheim and violinist Sean Weil, and from the Aaron Bodie Group, double bassist Sid Rodway and guitarist and keyboardist Adam Manis. Together, they explore the boundaries of jazz, classical, folk, and rock, and they join us now in the studio for a performance. So let's begin with the music. Let me present the 442s. That's the 442s, Sid Rodway, Sean Weil, Bjorn Ranheim, and Adam Manis. Welcome to you all.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was really nice, by the way.
Thank you.
And Adam, you're the composer for the 442, so what was that we just heard?
That was a piece called Shibuya. It was written for this great neighborhood in Tokyo that has the best udon noodles that I've ever had.
I see. So do the noodles figure into the composition in some way?
Or? They absolutely do, okay. Yeah.
Adam and Sid, you're both with the Aaron Bodie Group, Bjorn and Sean, members of the St. Louis Symphony. So I want to know how this quartet came to be in the beginning, but before we do that, could we just get a little background on each of your musical careers? And Adam, we could begin with you.
Yeah, sure. I've been playing piano around St. Louis, jazz piano around St. Louis since I was a teenager. And in 2001, I moved to New York City and began attending the New School University. And in 2004, I moved back to St. Louis to write and play and be a part of Aaron Bodie's working band. So
you came back for that? That happened after you got here?
I came back for that. She called me and I wrote my first song for her while I was still living in New York. And then I called her one day and said, if I move back to St. Louis, would I work? And she said, I absolutely will. And so I said, all right, I'm on my way.
Bjorn.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I went to a small music conservatory in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Institute of Music, and then kind of bounced my way around from various orchestras, but actually spent a good deal of time down in the New World Symphony, a training orchestra down in Miami Beach, Florida, which is where I met Sean Weill, actually. We were friends down there and played for a couple of years in Miami. And then we ended up being here in the St. Louis Symphony. So now I'm in my eighth season here with the St. Louis Symphony and just love it. And it's this project is a lot of fun for us.
We talked to you on Cityscape, I guess it was last fall sometime, when the Symphony was collaborating with Circus Flora.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was an amazing show. It was the Dylan Thomas Child's Christmas in Wales production that we did, which is just amazing. It was such an amazingly visual kind of spectacle. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, you're the one person here I've never met before. So
well, it's very nice to meet you. It's great to be here. And so I grew up in Chicago. Went to school in Indiana at Indiana University. Was there for 1.5 degrees, and then moved to Miami Beach, where I met Bjorn, as he mentioned. I went from there back to New York, lived there and freelanced for a year. And at the end of that year, I moved here to St. Louis, and I'm in my 10th season with the Symphony.
Yeah, how's that working on Miami Beach? Not bad.
It's a blast.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty really awesome. Great.
We're a lot more tan than we are now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, you're good for St. Louis.
Yeah.
Sid, tell us about yourself.
I got my start in music as a saxophone player. That was my original instrument. I played professionally for about 15 years or so. And then back in 2004, being married to Erin Bodie that very year, she started a new group with Adam, and they didn't have a bass player, and they weren't necessarily looking for a saxophone player. So I decided to buy a bass and try to figure it out and play with them.
You taught yourself, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, primarily self-taught, you know, picking up things from these guys as time goes on.
Well, you make it look easy, was it?
No, not at all. It was a very odd change. There are lots of blisters involved. but it's a completely different role in the music. You know, the saxophone is pretty flashy. It's out front. It's kind of like, hey, look at me. And, mm-hmm. and bass is the complete opposite. So it was a welcome addition, and I'm really enjoying it now.
Well, you all are such an interesting combination. The 442's been working together, I guess, about a year.
Yeah, a little bit over a year now,
with some breaks, stops, mm-hmm. and starts.
So how did that all happen to begin with?
Well,
anybody?
I think we all started to get to know each other just from being around the St. Louis music scene, but I had done a little bit of playing with Erin Bodie Group as a cellist. They've been doing some of their awesome tunes with cello and strings, and actually then Sean also got involved with the group that way. And so we all had experience working together, and then I think, you know, last year there was this fantastic album that came out called The Goat Rodeo Sessions, which is Yo-Yo Ma, Stuart uh-huh. Duncan, Edgar Meyer, and Chris Thiele. And it was
won a Grammy, I think.
Yeah, it did. It was a Grammy award-winning album, and it was such an incredible kind of testament to, you know, how you can combine great classical musicians and great, you know, folk musicians like Stuart Duncan, who doesn't even read music. And I think we all kind of heard that, and the genesis somewhere came through the idea of trying to start something like that acoustically.
Yeah, we don't do the same kind of music necessarily, but it's in the same spirit, mm-hmm. for sure.
At least inspired by.
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to work? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of times musicians get together to try something out and never really amounts to much besides maybe jam sessions. So did you think it would really turn into
this? No, at first it was definitely like almost a social thing. And then, but the group really started coming together and people started coming to rehearsals, you know, not us. Other people started coming to listen to rehearsals. And so we thought, well, we should maybe take this out. And so we did.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, I understand you had a little accident that
I did.
Slowed things down for a little bit?
I threw a wrench in the plan a little bit. I had a freak accident and broke a finger, so I was out for a good part of the season, but yeah. I'm happy to be back. And
how'd you guys get by during that time? Did you just...
We didn't really.
Didn't play?
Yeah. We were literally, it was a week before we had about 3 gigs scheduled around St. Louis, and so Sean calls up and he's like, I'm going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks. But now he's back and he's stronger than ever. He's bionic now, so he's
really built anticipation too.
That's true.
Towards our premiere.
Yeah. That's right. You get people really excited about coming to hear us, and then you're like, nope, you gotta wait.
Well, I want you to know I did a lot of heavy research before this interview.
Wow.
And I found out that, I guess like any talented group, one thing that brought you together was a love of good food and fine beer. Now, how important was that?
I think very important.
Still is.
One of the most important things of this group is the amount of beer that's...
Yeah. We all are big kind of hop heads, I think you'd say. And we love kind of introducing each other to new and exciting beers from all over the place, all over the world. You know, Adam loves Belgian beers from, you know, Belgium, and I'm a huge IPA fan from Colorado. And
same here.
Sid has his favorites up in Minnesota and some other places.
So this has been an important part of the rehearsal process?
Absolutely. Very much so. Lightens the mood a little bit.
Somewhere along the line, Sid's wife, Erin, started cooking these amazing dinners for our rehearsals. Like last night we rehearsed and it turned into a bit of a dinner party out of nowhere.
Yeah, meatballs
Spanish
and fresh
meatballs.
Bread.
Fantastic.
And great cheese plates.
We didn't get anything done.
No.
So how long do these sessions go on then?
Hours.
Hours and hours.
4 or 5 hours, generally.
Yeah. I mean, for Sean and I mean, we're used to these classical rehearsals where you schedule it in your book and you get there and you rehearse for 2 hours, 3 hours, and then you're out of there. There's not a whole lot of tomfoolery. And, you know, with these guys, it's just, we have a lot of fun and we're just enjoying hanging out, getting to know these tunes and just having a great experience.
Time always seems to fly by when we're rehearsing and just hanging out. So
little beer, food, good music.
Yeah. It's really just a good time, but we enjoy and respect each other's musicality as well.
So you've been performing together for about a year or so. So review this past year for me, the kind of venues you've played and things that you've done and what that's been like for you.
Well, I think, you know, this community has got a lot of great opportunities for music and great listening rooms. You know, a couple of wonderful experiences have been at Cyrano's Cafe in Webster Groves. They've got a fantastic music listening room. And then the newer Tavern of Fine Arts over on Belt Avenue is a fantastic room. And it's great for us because it's wooden and it's small and it's a nice space that we can fill up. So for an acoustic group like ours, I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other really fun experiences we had this year was performing as part of the St. Louis Symphony on stage at Powell Hall series. And we did a concert in collaboration with Brian Owens and some other musicians in kind of tribute to Martin Luther King Day and Black History Month. And it was a really fun concert. I mean, that's one where the audience sits on stage facing out towards the audience or towards the house. And we sit there on the lip of the stage playing. And it was a fantastic crowd, a huge group of people. And it was a lot of fun for us to kind of stretch our legs a little bit in a big space like that, mm-hmm. especially after being in smaller venues.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few highlights, I think, from our...
Well, you know, you guys are really busy all on your own. I mean, two of you are involved in the symphony, the others in the Aaron Bodie group, plus, for example, Bjorn, I know you're part of the Elliott Piano Trio with David Halen and Seth Carlin, and maybe you other guys have other things going on, too. So you must be good at time management, or how do you have enough time to do this, too?
We don't really. We've been averaging about two concerts a month, which and so far they've all been on Mondays or Tuesdays or some Thursdays, but... we just try to squeeze it in when we can, and it's almost better that way. We tend to have really great crowds, I like how it's kind of panned out so far.
Yeah, and it's actually the whole computer program of Google Calendar is an amazing resource for people like us because we can all go in and input our various obligations and conflicts so that when we're scheduling things, we can make it a little easier on ourselves. But it's we definitely try to plug in as many things as we can, I think.
And it works out well because our Mondays and Tuesdays are our weekends, and I know for the Aaron Bodie group, they play often on weekends as well, so it's a departure. It doesn't feel like constant work.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would help. Would you perform another piece for us?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds
great.
What
would you like to do?
We're going to do a piece I wrote about one of my favorite places in the world, northern Minnesota, the Boundary Waters. Sid and I have recorded two albums up there with Aaron Bodie in a cabin on Gunflint Lake. And the name of the cabin, or the name of the resort the cabin's at, is called Heston's, and this is called Heston's. Thank you.
That's the 442s. We're talking with Anna McManus, Bjorn Ranheim, Sean Weil, and Sid Rodway. And the 442s, I'm not a musician, so I don't really understand this, but that number refers to tuning in some way. Can you explain that to someone like me?
Well, yeah. So if you come to a symphony orchestra concert and the concertmaster walks on stage and looks at the principal oboist, that oboist plays an A. And that A is actually, for the St. Louis Symphony, it's 442 hertz, which is the frequency, the audio frequency. So we were having a hard time kind of coming up with a name for our group and kind of settled on that, not only because of that significance in tuning of the string instruments, but also because Sid and Aaron live at their address is 442. Adam used to have an apartment in New York that was at 442.
West 22nd Street.
Yeah, West 22nd Street. So it seems like it's a theme that keeps coming around, and it it made sense at the time. So that's
there
what
are four
we are.
Of us. We're close to 42.
Some closer than others.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense to me in some strange way.
Yeah.
Well, is it important to you each individually to, like, the way I have to see it is because you do all different types of music. You're really stretching your musical muscle doing this, for want of a better term. So how important is that to each of you individually to play outside your comfort zone, if that's a fair way to put it?
I think it's important for every musician to do this regularly, to kind of play things you're not comfortable playing, and to push yourself and try new things. And that's one of the reasons why we love doing this, I think. I speak for everybody in that, you know, for Sid and I, it's different to work with classical musicians, and we get to use different parts of our musical skill set in that, and I hope that they get to do the same thing.
Absolutely. I remember giving Adam a call. I was sort of in crisis. I felt like I really needed to branch out with my playing, and I thought, you know, the few opportunities I'd had to play with Bjorn and these two guys with the Aaron Bode group was such a nice departure and a way of expanding on what it is we do. It enhances every aspect of the music-making process, really.
Yeah, Sid, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, it's an incredible learning experience to be with these two, especially with their many decades of bow work and just mastery of their instruments. It's like a master class for me every time we get together, and I'm really paying attention.
Well, I think for our turn as well, I mean, playing with two fantastic jazz musicians, I mean, they live in an idiom where they are constantly thinking outside the box and improvising in front of people. That's part of what jazz is. Classical musicians are never taught and very rarely encouraged to do this.
Right.
And so for Sean and I, actually, we do a lot of improvisation during some of these pieces. And it's really, really good for us to do. Not to mention the fact that we are singing in a lot of tunes together, four-part male singing, you know, whistling, doing all kinds of things. So, I mean, we're relying on a lot more, as classical musicians, a lot more skills than we ever use inside the symphony orchestra.
And Adam, as the composer for this group, where are you coming from as far as your inspiration for the music that the four of you do?
Yeah, I'm trying to use them to sort of hone my composing chops, really. You know, I've written for jazz groups, I've written pop songs, I've written folk songs. But, you know, when you have to take a theme and there's no long improvised section in the middle, you have to really learn how to develop it in a hurry, or else the piece is going to fall apart. So that's what I've been focusing on. And I haven't tried to put any sort of, labels or this is what we're going to do and this is not what we're going to do. We're just kind of trying everything right now and throwing everything at the board and seeing what sticks, really.
Every time we show up for a rehearsal, Adam comes with at least one or two new tunes that are completely different than the last two he's written. And it's just, they're equally as good and better all the time. And it's nice because although they're basically finished products when he shows up with them, he still has the flexibility and we are able to give some input. And it's a very much a work in progress.
Well, the 442s will be performing this Sunday, 2 p.m. It's a benefit for Lutheran Senior Services. And you'll be performing at the Village at McKenzie Place in Afton. If you'd like ticket information about Sunday's event at 2, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have more information. You've got some other dates coming up too, right?
Yeah, we have May 2nd at Cyrano's Cafe in Webster Groves, and we have May 20th at the Tavern of Fine Arts on Belt Avenue.
And You are in the event on Sunday for Lutheran Senior Services.
Yeah.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, this organization is one that just does so much great work in our community, providing a lot of resources for some older adults throughout the area. And so for us to partner with them in performing for their benefit, I think, is great for us. We are really looking forward to it, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. So,
well, before you go, we'd love for you to play one more piece.
Sure. This piece is called Chelsea. This is named after the neighborhood I lived in New York at 442 West 22nd Street.
That's the 442s, Adam Manis, Bjorn Ranheim, Sean Weil, and Sid Rodway. They'll be performing 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Village at McKinsey Place. Go to our website for more information. You guys are really great. And before we go, just real briefly, you all have different musical backgrounds. So after this collaboration, what have you learned from one another?
Wow.
Anybody?
I think just learning to think outside of the box and to constantly push ourselves. And I think, you know, looking at what each other can bring to the table and what we can learn from each of those examples, it's phenomenal. And so I think it's making us all a lot better musicians.
Yeah, I learned what cheese goes best with IPA.
It's the 442s. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Enjoy your music very much.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, Lake Windfall, and later, Shakespeare St. Louis takes on cyberbullying. This is St. Louis Public Radio.